Yeah, the lift cell is probably one of the coolest things that we do. The structure here in terms of leaders is, you know, me as the chief information officer, we have a chief innovation officer, Stephen Parker. And often what I like to say is, like, you know, when it comes to technology, we have the template in the CIO's office of making sure technology is democratized and everyone can use it, and it's powerful and it does things for the mission.
Today on the Daily Scoop podcast from the Scoop News Group, Yemi Oshinaye on TSA's top IT priorities, and a look at the agency's work to innovate transportation security. It's Thursday, March 14th, 2024. Welcome to the Daily Scoop podcast, where you'll hear the latest news and trends facing government leaders. I'm the host of the Daily Scoop podcast, Billy Mitchell. Here's what's happening now. NASA is investigating an incident regarding the theft of several iPads used for training astronaut crews amid ongoing federal security concerns, and specifically the space agency's approach to device management. According to an incident report obtained by FedScoop, the event involved multiple crew training iPads being stolen and referenced both Texas's Johnson Space Center and Florida's Kennedy Space Center, where NASA launches astronauts on SpaceX's crew module to the International Space Station. The report was filed with NASA's Office of the Chief Information Officer and says the theft was discovered on July 24, 2023. The reports obtained by FedScoop also show additional information involving PII, including other missing devices. NASA did not answer FedScoop's questions about the alleged theft, including whether a police report was filed, what kind of personally identifiable information might be on those devices, and whether they were owned by SpaceX or NASA. The space agency only said the incident was still under investigation and pointed to its procedures on lost devices. The incident comes amid longstanding concerns about NASA's cybersecurity and device management practices. Wednesday at the Elastic Public Sector Summit produced by FedScoop, federal IT leaders highlighted how they're approaching the adoption of nascent generative AI technologies. Terry Carpenter, CIO for the National Science Foundation, described a measured approach where the agency hasn't outright banned generative AI, but has prohibited its use in reviewing research proposals. However, the agency is piloting a generative AI use case with a chatbot to help those working to submit proposals with answers on, quote, whether or not they should try to write a proposal, and if they do write a proposal, how can they be helped in that process. Meanwhile, at the General Services Administration, CIO David Shive said he let employees explore generative AI tools before putting a policy around them. That decision led to some eye-opening and head-scratching observations of the GSA workforce, but it also provided a foundation for what would inform the agency's generative AI policy, Shive said, recalling the fulsome visibility that he and other GSA IT leaders had in the early days of the agency's generative AI testing. Thanks to GSA's Zero Trust security architecture, Shive said agency leaders were able to observe every single action taken by those workers who wanted to look into the tech's capabilities. Some workers simply explored beta sites to test how various Gen AI tools function, Shive said, while others wrote term papers using generative AI, and others connected those tools to external public-facing data. But some, he said, tried to connect those tool sets to internal private data sets, which led the GSA to, quote, turn everything off. Today, GSA has a lightweight compliance framework, as Shive put it, for workers who want to continue dipping their toes into the generative AI waters. Creating that ask and approval process, Shive said, seemed to fix the issue. You can read more about these stories and much more at fedscoop.com. The Transportation Security Administration recently announced the launch of its IT Lift Cell Innovation Lab, a space through which TSA's network of innovative thinkers can put their ideas to work. The lab is meant to be an, quote, Apple Genius Bar meets TSA IT, according to the agency, and a place where the department's IT office can host workshops, open hours, and meetings for employee brainstorming sessions. TSA CIO Yemi Oshinaye joins the Daily Scoop podcast to discuss the new lab, the concept behind Lift Cells, and his top priority now 2 years into his role leading the agency's IT portfolio. Yemi, welcome to the Daily Scoop podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Being here. Yeah, yeah. And honestly, I've been looking forward to meeting you. You're someone I've wanted to talk to for a while. And I know you've been doing some great work at TSA. You've been there nearly 2 years now as CIO. So I'd love to start there and get a sense from you as the CIO of TSA, what you've been most focused on, what your top priorities have been in the nearly 2 years you've been there, and what you consider some of your biggest priorities or things that you've successfully accomplished.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. It flew by. So I looked up the other day and I was like, well, it really has been 2 years. So I thought that was kind of funny. But, for the first year, what I really did is I walked in, I tried to get the full landscape of the mission and what the mission was. I think a lot of people don't realize TSA is not just the checkpoint. There's a real strong compliance mission with the sector, making sure that the sector follows regulations, and they're able to protect the transportation system, and it's secure. And now that cyber is so big, there's a really big cyber swim lane. So understanding how compliance, how being the SRMA in the sector, impacted us, as well as understanding how technology was different than other components. Using operational technology, IoT, as well as your business systems, all kind of brought together, was important to understand it. So after I got a feel of that, is really digging into the administrator's intent. Those are, the big areas for our roadmap where we're going to affect transportation security and making sure that mapped to what we were doing in IT and making sure we had the resources. And, all the while I'm doing that, I'm getting to know people, making sure that folks have all the resources they need so we can actually build out our strategy and some of the big topics that we would address. So I think coming into the second year, really we were driving for effectiveness. How can we be innovative? How can we step up, our investment in cloud? How can we move a little bit faster? And does the mission operator feel comfortable with the IT they have at their fingertips? And if they don't, how do we get it faster and have that feedback loop continue? So it's been kind of a nonstop effort, but where I am now, I think it's taking all those inputs as we built a strategy and executing on the main tenets of the strategy that we have.
That's very cool. And you mentioned, moving faster, doing things a little differently, changing things up. And, I noticed that recently one of the big, initiatives that TSA and the IT shop there have come out with is the LiftCell Innovation Lab. So I'd love to hear about that. What's going on there and how's it going?
Yeah, the LiftCell is probably one of the coolest things that we do. So the structure here in terms of leaders is, me as the chief information officer, we have a chief innovation officer, Stephen Parker. And often what I like to say is when it comes to technology, we have the template in the CIO's office of making sure technology is democratized and everyone can use it and it's powerful and it does things for the mission. With Chief Innovation Officer, it's about that innovation doctrine. So what Stephen does is he goes around and say, everybody that's a part of TSA can innovate. And innovation isn't always technology. Sometimes you can innovate without technology, but having that spirit, that kind of fail forward understanding and really owning the ability to change things is really what he does and goes around. So we actually have our Lyft Summit this week. Today is the last day of the Lyft Summit. I'm actually going to work with Steven, do a Shark Tank where I'm one of the judges on some of the ideas that come out. But in this Lyft Summit, they bring everyone together and say, what are the biggest problems? And how do we kind of progressively elaborate a problem set to apply a solution to it? So you'll have TSOs come and say, hey, I saw a problem. And here's what I think the solution is. How do we together solve that solution? One of the other things we did as we, the CIO team, sponsored the headquarters LiftCell. And so we have an innovation lab where we are allowing people to come through, together solve problems. We kind of have whiteboards in there, big TV screens. And if you want to bring something in, you have a big idea, bring it in. We even have like gigantic Lego blocks just to get yourself in
awesome.
The mood.
Very cool. Very cool. It's cool to hear about the cell week, or I forget exactly how you referenced it, but, we'll love to hear more about that in the future. Kind of turning back to, you mentioned cyber as this major element of TSA. And, it dawned on me that in the time that you've been CIO, there's been a lot of guidance that's come out of OMB that has been pretty integral. And my time reporting in this space, I don't think I've seen as much guidance in a
quick, or, you know, a short span of time that have been like late last year and over the last few years from, you know, the zero trust guidance and digital experience stuff that's come out of OMB. And then there's these draft policies that are, we're kind of waiting on to see what comes with FedRAMP and AI. But I'm curious, as a CIO, with all of that guidance either on your plate or percolating and coming soon, how do you approach all of that? And what do you think has been the biggest for TSA in terms of moving the needle forward for how you operate and your mission?
Yeah, so one of the good things is a lot of those mandates that come out of OMB and that come out of DHS here are things we've been working on. They're shining the light on what we need to pay attention to. So, you know, like cyber, when it comes out, the zero trust, for working on zero trust, it's something we have to do anyway. Identity is so important to being able to manage security of your assets, and as one being a network, another being your kind of your physical assets as well. So understanding identity of one of the pillars of zero trust is something we've always done, but now it educates everyone around us. So when we're asking for funding, or if we're doing social engineering training, and we're asking folks to take tests, they understand too. So we have like now the coalition of the willing to move forward. One of the ways we address it is looking at priorities. You're not going to solve one problem holistically at the same time, but you can take layers. So like I said, we're focusing on identity to make sure that is one of the pillars that we take care of first, because it'll spawn off the rest of the work we have to do. Then we move into kind of network management, because you shouldn't be able to traverse the network if you haven't been authenticated properly. So, you know, we do that. And at the same time, we're looking at other areas, because customer experience is important. So if we are so secure that you can't get on the network, then it really doesn't do anything for your customer experience. So making sure we blend all those things, get feedback, and ask questions. We're asking our team. We're also asking, you know, operators and folks that use our services, you know, what are the things that you need? And it's, you know, adapting our way through doing it progressively, and we get things done. It's not the Big Bang doesn't work anymore. So we definitely have to take layers and layer for that at a time.
Yeah, I think that makes total sense. And, you know, AI, I can't get through a conversation these days without really focusing in on it. And, you know, I mentioned that as one of the moving pieces from OMB. But how are you thinking about AI as a function for the way that TSA looks to accomplish its mission of transportation security? Is it something that you're really leaning into, or how are you really approaching that as it becomes a mainstay in federal IT?
Yeah, so we're leaning in, and so is the department. You know, I'm not sure if you heard, but when the AI mandate came out, one of the things that the department did is said, yeah, great. So what we're going to do is we're going to have, you know, a Gen AI policy, but the policy is use it. And here are the things you can use. Here's how you use it. Take training and use it. So we've leaned in the same way. You know, I did a presentation for our senior staff here, and I did the presentation, and I built it using Gen AI. And I talked through what I did to create an image, what I did to create some of the text and the context, because the best way to make sure that the product isn't dangerous or isn't exploited is for everyone to be educated about it. So education is prime for us here. So we're making sure we educate folks in other arenas where we're not just using Gen AI and we're using different AI models. We make sure they're trained and tested. It's very, very important that they're tested. We make sure there's no bias. You always want to make sure you're reducing bias so that we can use it in products like PreCheck, where you have touchless PreCheck and you're using your face as your identity and using AI to match it. So, and also we're making sure that privacy is really key and important, so that passengers not only feel safe, they feel protected and their privacy is protected. So we're definitely leaning in. We're looking to lean in more experimentation, more partner with industry, because I think, you know, AI is here to stay. So we need to know how to use it for our best benefit.
Yeah. And just a quick follow-up, you mentioned the department's stance on that. We talked to Eric Heisen recently on, you know, he's really trailblazing in the federal space, leaning into AI after and even before the EO came out. But I'm just curious, how is it to have him as and the DHS writ large as sort of a platform? And then I'm curious about, you know, DHS is a massive agency and there's a lot of other CIOs I would imagine you collaborate with on this stuff. So how does that help guide TSA, and how do you benefit from that sort of collaboration and that sort of foundation?
As big as DHS is, you'd be surprised to know there's a high level of collaboration. I mean, there are meetings where it's myself, the CIOs, and Eric personally in a meeting where we're talking about AI, coming up with strategies. You know, we encourage each other to lean forward. We take ideas from each other. So we're constantly, I mean, just 2 days ago, I was talking with two or three of the component CIOs and what they're doing in AI. So we've actually been in the department. A lot of CIOs now have been around each other for a couple of years. So it's really easy for us to work together. And we promote each other, we share ideas. Matter of fact, what we're doing for the touchless pre-check, when we're using facial to match, we're working with CBP on it. We're using some of the same technology together to be able to make that work. So you'll see a lot of that collaboration in the department, and it just makes us better. It's a very cool thing.
That's great. So let's close out with a kind of forward-looking question. I'm aware that TSA just recently came out with its IT strategic plan for 2024 through 2028. And I'm curious, just kind of piggybacking off that, what can we look forward to from TSA in that timeframe?
Yeah, so that was that culmination I talked about 2 years of 1 year really digging into the mission, second year saying, hey, how do we build our resources to move forward? And we put out what I think is a really comprehensive and strong strategy. There are five goals. We tried to keep it simple. So if I was in an elevator with you, I could walk through the goals really quickly and you get excited about them. You know, one is speed to impact, because it's really important. When we at home can get technical solutions on our phone pretty easily by downloading an app, we should be able to create solutions here really quickly so that the mission operator and our staff have what they need. You know, one of the other goals is, you know, customer experience driven solutions, because if the customer can't use it, then it's not really worth much. So that is, we underscore what we do. And then making sure the next goal is making sure that cybersecurity is embedded. We don't want to think about cybersecurity as an afterthought. So when we come up with the idea, we should be understanding how to secure it. And then goal 4 is really about data. And we want to empower decision makers with data, not just have, you know, the best data mesh and take a, you know, millions and millions of rows in data and make it usable, but really saying you as a user should be able to take and build your own dashboards. You should be able to do your own analysis. You should be able to use data to your best benefit without calling us. And that's making sure that you have that at your fingertips. And then, you know, it's the fifth goal, but probably the most important, is making sure we're attracting top talent and keeping that talent and training that talent. So we invest a lot of time in our staff, and not just IT staff all over the place. We'll have lunch and learns and coffees and sit downs talking about technology and how it helps the mission. And, you know, I do these things where I walk around the hallway and I'll just stop and sit at anybody's kind of desk or cubicle or sit in the hallway and we'll talk about it. And if you have a problem or question, just let us know. And then we turn it into some kind of collaboration session so that we can help folks get educated. And those goals, I think, will send us leap years ahead of where we need to be.
That's great. Well, Yemi, I have one last question. I see the artwork with Spider-Man in the background. I have to ask a fun one. If you were a superhero, who would you be?
It's funny. Someone asked me that like a couple of weeks ago, and I couldn't do it. It was tough. But I will show you one of my favorite ones. If you look kind of right over my shoulder, it's kind of the heart that comes out of Iron Man.
Okay.
He's probably one of the snarkiest, funniest guys. Loves technology, and when he puts on that suit, he's unstoppable. So that's my guy.
There you go. Had to ask. Yemi, it's been a pleasure. Fun talking to you. Looks like there's a lot of great work going on at TSA. So kudos to you on that. Hopefully, we can do this again in the future. But until then, best of luck.
Absolutely. Thank you. Had fun.
You can learn more about TSA IT at thedailyscooppodcast.com. The Daily Scoop podcast is available on all podcast platforms. If you've already rated the podcast on your platform of choice, thanks so much. High ratings and good reviews of the show help more people to find it. The Daily Scoop podcast is a production of the Scoop News Group in Washington, D.C. Adam Butler and Carlin Fisher help put the show together, and the entire Scoop News Group team contributes. We'll be back next week with brand new episodes. Until then, I'm your host, Billy Mitchell. Thanks so much for listening.